You're listening to Single Swipe Repeat, a brand new podcast from Cosmopolitan. Our single years are filled with fun, adventure. They're a time when we experiment, meet new people, try new things. Ultimately, we're just trying to figure out who we are and what we want. We partnered with Tinder to champion the single journey and to hear real dating stories from young people across the country who are living their best single lives.
Like, one thing that always sticks out to me, because I dated him for 2 years, is I needed to know his zodiac sign, like, immediately. And I didn't want to be, like, one of those kind of basic girls, like, what's your sign? So, you know, as soon as he went to the bathroom, I casually, like, went through his wallet, looked at his driver's license, did not take any money, just needed to know the birthday.
So I'm in the studio with Saweetie. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So you just came from Tinder's offices, right?
Yes, girl.
What were you doing over there?
I was trying to help a lovely user find her type.
So this is perfect that you're going to be on here today.
Exactly. You know, she super beautiful girl, and we were just trying to find her type, and we found one.
You did.
So, but she wanted somebody ambitious, somebody with a job, and she wants to be serious.
Amazing.
So he seemed like the perfect candidate.
Oh, that's so nice. So what were, like, some of the tips that you gave her? Like, did you talk to her about her bio or any of her photos, anything like that?
Well, her photos were cute. You know, it was like a college girl who likes to have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell she's about her money, her education, but, you know, she do turn up. Her bio was simple.
If you had a Tinder bio, what do you think you would write in it?
Rich nigga with eight figures. No. But all jokes aside, I feel like my type is somebody who's supportive, you know, somebody who believes in my career, because, you know, I'm a busy woman.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important that your partner, you know, understands your job and supports you in what you're doing.
Absolutely. And that's what, like, your song is about, which is blowing up the charts right now, by
the
way.
Congratulations. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. So cool. Okay, so today we're going to hear from a bunch of Tinder users in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I have not had the pleasure to go to that city, but I know that you did a show there, right?
I did a show there and it was storming.
Oh,
so
wow.
I wasn't able to really see the city.
Okay.
But I could tell there's a lot of culture. The food was good though. Mm-hmm. I had me some gumbo.
Yum.
Yeah, so it was good, but I really need to go back because it was storming, so, you know, I was inside.
Yeah. I think that's the one unfortunate thing about living there, like, constant, I feel like, barrage of weather, which is a crazy reality these days, but it sounds and looks like it's such a beautiful and fun city and, like, loves to party.
Definitely filled with a lot of culture.
Yes, yes. So I'm really interested to hear from these people to see what it's like down on the ground to date in New Orleans. All right, so let's go to the phones and talk to Tanaj. She's originally from NOLA. She's black and dating a white guy from New England. Now, one thing I do want to point out, since it really relates here, is that there's been a huge rise in interracial relationships and marriages since 2012, which, fun fact, is when Tinder launched. This rise has actually been directly attributed to Tinder, since it started allowing people to connect with others outside of their normal social circles. So let's hear from Tanaj and see if that's the case down in New Orleans. Tanaj.
Hey, Tanaj.
Hi. So we've heard a little bit about you, but we want to hear what dating in New Orleans has been like for you.
Well, I'm dating this guy, and we've been together like 2 years now, but he's not from here. So
where is he from?
He's from like the Boston, Massachusetts area.
How'd you guys meet?
So we're both like theater nerds. We like do theater in the city, and he came down from college with a group of people, and they were like, nope, we love New Orleans, we're gonna stay here forever.
That's so sweet.
That's a love story right there.
Yeah,
like, he loves it here. He was like interested in me while I was away and he was still in New Orleans, and he was like, so when are you moving back so we can be together, and when are you, you know, just gonna like realize like this is where you need to be, like, come back home, woman. And I was like, okay. Like, and eventually I did. And, like, almost immediately we moved in together. Like, that wasn't the plan.
That's awesome. Okay, so we've been told that NOLA is pretty racially segregated. Do you think that that rings true or no?
Oh, no, it definitely is, for sure. One, culturally, for sure. Like, there's one place, in, like, around New Orleans, it's like, oh, we don't go there because we get pulled over.
Whoa.
And then I went to, like, these Creole schools all my life. And so if you had asked me when I was like 17, 18 years old, I'm like, oh, I've never experienced racism. Like, I didn't, because I grew up around Black people all my life. Right. And then I went to college at like a predominantly white institution. And that was like, I tell people, I'm like, that's when I first realized that I was Black, because they let me know every day that I was Black. And I did not fit in any way. It's like, except in, like, sometimes, like, I had a roommate, and she was, like, good friends with me. And she'd be like, oh, yeah, like, we wanted to go to the pool, but, like, there were people like you down there. I was like, what? What do you mean, like, people like me? Like, and she didn't even mean it rude. She was just like, that was just a matter of fact for her. She's like, yeah, there's too many people like you. I don't think we should go. And I'm like, what?
Whoa. And that was your college roommate.
Yeah.
Like, that's like someone who's super close to you.
Yeah. Like, there's so many, like, random things like that. And she loved me to death. Like, we still talk, but sometimes I'm like, remember when you said stuff like this?
Right.
It's also like how she grew up. Like, she didn't grow up around Black people, like anything really.
Right.
She was just raised like that. Well, that's kind of how it is when you're dating in New Orleans too. It's like you bring around like the white person to the barbecue, and people are like, why would you do this? Like, this is crazy. Like, people that you think are like really nice and sweet, and they are, but then it's like you introduce race into the situation and nobody can deal. Like, even my dad, when I broke up with the guy that I was dating through college, he was like, okay, just don't bring home the white boy. I was like, oh.
So when did you introduce your current boyfriend to your family? He's the one that you're in an interracial relationship with, right?
Yeah. Like, I introduced him to my family probably, like, we started dating in, like, September. I probably introduced him to my family around Thanksgiving or Christmas. Well, my dad, the one that was like, don't bring home no white boys, like, he loves this boy. I'm like, wow. Like, my dad doesn't like anybody. Like, when guys used to pick me up for dates, he would be like, okay, take a picture. And then he'd disappear and go outside and take pictures of the license plate and any, like, dents or interesting marks on the car. And I'm like, oh, my God, my dad's a stalker. Like, this is something I have to deal with. He was like, nothing's going to happen to my baby girl. I was like, okay, I appreciate that now. But at the time, I was like, I'm embarrassed. But he loves Alex so much.
That's good.
And he's a little eccentric, too. So, like, he's met my dad wearing, like, dresses, because he does theater and he does Mardi Gras and all the costumes and everything. And he's like, I'll wear what I want. I don't care. And I appreciate that. So he's, like, gone around my dad like that. I'm like, oh, God. I'm going to have to deal with daddy saying something later. And dad will send me a message like, was that your dress? And I'm like, nope, he actually bought it himself. Like, that's crazy. I know. And he's like, no, I look good on him. That's fine.
Wow.
Like, whoa.
That's great.
My big old Black conservative daddy is like, this man, that's great.
See, you got to give him more credit. Pops, you got to give him more credit.
I have to now. I'm like, I guess in the old age, you're like, oh. He's nice to her, so that's what
matters. Yes, he just wants to see you happy. All right, Tanaj, well, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. That was really enlightening, and we love to hear that you are happy now, so that's great. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, bye, guys.
One thing that I noticed with, like, her relationship was I feel like women, like, they kind of have to, like, prove their worth before the guy takes them serious. But I always wonder, like, what if a woman were to do that to a man?
Right.
Would that be acceptable still?
Right.
Because I feel like I hear that story a lot. Like,
yeah.
He wanted to do this, so I did it for him, and then he didn't want to commit no more, and he got scared, and then now they're heartbroken over somebody who was hunting them down, like she was saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. All right, next up on the phones is Lena. She's 22. She's a grad student and a server in NOLA. And she says that the city attracts the type of person who doesn't really plan ahead when it comes to figuring out where they're going to live. I want to hear from her what exactly she means by that. Lena?
Hello, hello.
Hey, Lena.
Okay, so we want to hear what dating in New Orleans has been like for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I moved here in college, so of course I jumped on, like, Tinder, you know, to get to know people. And then also, I come from a small town in Louisiana, so I wanted to see all what was out there. And probably the most interesting one was a guy that I met on Tinder. We ended up dating for almost 2 years, but the beginning of our relationship and us dating was just kind of insane. Our first date was at a really like well-known restaurant. It's called Turkey and the Wolf. And like one thing that always sticks out to me, because I dated him for 2 years, is I needed to know his zodiac sign like immediately. And I didn't want to be like one of those kind of basic girls, like, what's your sign? So, you know, as soon as he went to the bathroom, I casually like went through his wallet, looked at his driver's license, did not take any money, just needed to know the birthday. He was an Aquarius, which is my opposite sign, but we won't get into that. Then we just kind of ended the night like sneaking into a pool and going swimming. And like we continued our relationship, you know, for a couple of weeks. And I had never gone to his house before. And it was just getting kind of annoying because like I have roommates and like he just was always weird about his house, you know. And I had gone out of town for a couple of weeks and my lease was up at my house. So I was like staying at my parents for a little while. So I was like, I'm going to come to New Orleans and visit you. We'll stay at your place, you know? He's like, yeah, that sounds great. So pick him up from work. And he's like, yeah, so about that, we're not going to go to my house. I'm actually homeless right now. I've been in between leases and like sleeping on people's couches. But I did get us like 4 nights at the Pontchartrain Hotel on St. Charles Avenue, which is like one of the most like kind of famous historical hotels. Like they filmed like Benjamin Button there. Very luxurious place. So that was like our probably like 5th date. That was the most bizarre thing. But you know, of course, things got more bizarre.
Yeah.
But how was that? Like not being able to go to his house? Like what was going through your head?
Oh, yeah. No, that made me like super suspicious.
No, because when I was in college, I called it the trap house. It was me and my cousins, and we couldn't afford any furniture. So the only thing we had in the apartment was a bed. And, you know, like, I'm cute, I'm fly outside, but when you come to my house, it's just a bed. So I didn't ever want to bring the guy who I was talking to at my house. So he always thought that I was, like, living with a man, or he would come up with all these crazy excuses. So I just want to hear, like, what were some of the stories you were telling yourself when he was coming up with all these excuses? Because I can relate to that. Because you don't want to bring somebody even home to something that you're not proud of. But in his situation, he had nothing to, you know, bring you home to. So what was going through your head in that way?
There were definitely parts to me that were like, dude, what the fuck? I just want to come to your house and you're being so weird. Like, you've met all my friends. You come to my house. We've talked about, like, everything. And it's like, I still can't go to your house.
Wait, sweetie, did you ever let your boyfriend at the time come to your house eventually?
Girl, so this is what happened. He eventually just came to my house. Mm-hmm. And you know how you have, like, the lock on the door?
Yes.
I, like, opened it with the lock on the door. And I was like, look, you really can't come in here. And I didn't want to tell him why.
Right.
But he eventually got so mad at me and just like stormed off. And I eventually just told him, and I had to be completely transparent. I was like, I'm not proud of my living situation. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally only have dishes and a bed.
Right.
In my apartment.
Right.
And I don't want you to see that.
Right.
So
what was his reaction?
He was just like, oh man, like, I'm not even worried about that. But you know, like, say he wasn't prepped that way and right. just came in. That could have possibly changed how he looked at me.
Yep. Yep. No, it's true. Like, mm-hmm. It's like you told the line of just being totally, literally doors open and uh-huh. This is me and this is where I live and my living situation, and have them judge that with no context. Or do you wait
right.
and just like see how long you can push it, but then have them get to know you more and mm-hmm. put more trust in you to be like, okay, I don't care. You could live in a shoebox and
right.
whatever.
But what I love about this story, it just opens my eyes and just lets me know that a lot of people have dealt with what I've dealt with.
Yes.
It's just hard when like your friends have their stuff together and their houses are nice.
Right.
And then you come back to yours and right. it's just like,
you're like, I live here now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, so did the guy you were dating ever settle down or
eventually,
no?
Eventually. It took some time. See, we, like, in New Orleans, we don't really have many apartment complexes, right? Especially in the city. Once you go downtown, like, French Quarter Business District, that's very much more like condos and like apartment towers. But overall, the majority of the housing is like super old houses that like are probably nearing 100 years old, with about 4 to 5 different rooms in it. And not even just students, but everybody kind of lives in these houses. And some of these houses, particularly mine, is a shotgun house. And I don't know if you guys are familiar, but like a shotgun house, you don't really have any privacy. The rooms are arranged like one behind the other. There's no hall. Like you just open a door and you're in the next bedroom. Wow. Then you open the door when you walk through that bedroom, you're in the next room. And then eventually you'll get to the kitchen and the bathroom. And there's usually like a back door just to kind of like split the traffic. So it's just really funky. And like we all lease, New Orleans is a super like high renters. We have a pretty low percentage of homeowners outside of New Orleans proper. So obviously like dating and having like, you know, guys over, it's a bit difficult.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We so appreciate it.
Thank y'all so much. Y'all have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Lena.
Thanks.
Thank
Sadie.
You. I learned so much from you today. And that's crazy.
Crazy.
I could, oh my gosh, living in a shotgun house?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That really builds character. Mm-hmm.
100%. I can't, like, it shut me right up because I was like, wow, okay. Like, I appreciate. Yeah. I feel very privileged.
Privileged,
for not
definitely.
Having to have, like.
And what's the craziest thing about these stories is that people are coming from different cities and adapting to the culture.
Right.
Like, because it's not like, something that they grew up. It's not second nature. Mm-mm. It's something that they have to, you know, adapt to.
Right. But they're all attracted to that city for some reason. Which is so interesting. Yeah, and Lena's boyfriend, like, if he's paying for the hotel, clearly he has money. It's not a money thing. I think it's more that he may be of the population in New Orleans who don't feel like they need to rent a place and they'd prefer to be more nomadic and couch surf, which sounds like an alternative if you don't want to have a shotgun setup. Mm-hmm. But man, yeah, like, talk about that putting a major cramp in your dating life when you can't go to each other's houses, like. I think it just makes you be more creative and think of more fun and like interesting dates. So what's the most out of the box date you've been on?
I guess this was a date, but we kind of like went off and did our own thing. And it was the 4th of July. It was really fun. And we climbed like the baseball cage and like
so
brought snacks up there and like watched the fireworks.
That's so romantic.
And it was very romantic.
Yeah.
And it was like pure just like kid fun, like trying to find somewhere cool to, you know, smoke.
Yes.
And then, you know.
And it's like old school, no technology.
Old school, no technology.
Like, I love that.
We're just like eating, watching the firecrackers. Mm.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I think anything in a park, like a picnic, boom, it's so easy to do, even if you have nothing but like a blanket and just chill and just be together.
And it just forces you to just like connect.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that was one of my most interesting like dates.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like so many people forget that when they are dating. Mm-hmm. It's like a walk can be a date.
Yeah. I feel like as kids and as teenagers, they're able to, you know, experience that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, as an adult, there's kind of like the traditional route of I have to take you to dinner, I have to do that. So I think it's cool that cities like New Orleans forces people to do things that aren't traditional in the dating world.
Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Back to the phones now. We're calling Toni. She is a witch and an instructor at Black Witch University in New Orleans. Toni.
Hey there.
Hey, Toni.
All right, Toni. So we hear that you are a witch. So can you tell us more about that? Because we're dying to know.
Okay. I am a practicing eclectic witch, which means I don't practice a particular path. So I'm not Wiccan. And I've been practicing for quite a while. I am not what I call an insta-witch. I didn't Google it and try to figure out what was going on. And then 3 days later said, I'm a witch. This has been an ongoing thing for me. It is a way of life.
Is this something that's been practicing your family?
It is.
Okay.
The witchcraft side is something that my sister and I have brought in, but the hoodoo, conjure, and voodoo side have been a part of our family for centuries, and that would be more of the southern side.
Wow. I'm so, like, fascinated by this. Like, is witchcraft a big thing
in
NOLA?
It is. New Orleans is, like, the most eclectic, magical place you could possibly set foot in the world. Like, I don't know any, and I've traveled a lot, but I don't know anywhere other than New Orleans where you feel so at home, no matter how witchy you are.
So what is dating like if you're a witch, and how do you tell people that?
Oh, well, it's complicated. This being a very Christian-based country, it can be kind of tricky. It's kind of like almost coming, we call it coming out of the broom closet. So you have to be careful. And so dating can be somewhat complicated, but once you find someone who can appreciate what you do and can respect what you do, they don't have to follow the path. So it's just a matter of finding the right person.
And like, is that something that you're suggesting that they put in their Tinder bio or something?
It's just like anything else. You don't want to put too much of your information out there, but you also don't want to hide it. And it's really hard to determine when the right time is going to be. But you don't want to get too far into this relationship without saying, hey, look, you know, this is what I do. At the same time, my feeling on that is I don't expect a Christian to do that. And I don't expect someone who's of the Jewish faith to do that. So why should someone who's a practicing witch be expected to do that as well? So it's a very fine line that we walk. But people are very judgmental.
That's a good point. But if you're not totally comfortable writing witch in your bio, you could always write that you're spiritual. I mean, so many young people these days do consider themselves or identify with being spiritual. And I think that opens doors to having more of a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. Like on Tinder's content platform, Swipe Life, there's a piece about dating as a witch. And the author talks about how you can ask things like, what are your thoughts on modern spiritual practice? And are you open to insert witchy thing here? So it's actually a really interesting read, but being a witch is definitely something I feel like people have a lot of questions about. Like, personally, I have so many questions. Like, is there such a thing as a male witch?
Oh, yeah.
Are witches dating each other?
Yes. Only Hollywood makes a witch a female. Witches are across the board, doesn't matter. Male, female, transgender, that has nothing to do with it.
Is there any clues or anything that the average person can use to pick up on whether or not someone is a witch? If we're like convinced our partner is, but they haven't told us.
Do you have a lot of incense in your house? Does your partner collect candles like other people collect whatever else they collect? Do you have crystals everywhere? Does your partner try to figure out when the full moon is? Do they know the full moon calendar better than you do? Like, things like that, it seems silly, but those are important to us.
Okay, so where can, like, witches who are single and want to meet another witch, is there any, like, hot spots in New Orleans that they should hit up?
Any of the conjure shops would be a great place, and believe me when I tell you there is a plethora of them. There is several clubs in New Orleans that is for witches.
Mm, please educate us and enlighten what conjure means.
Conjure is taking the energy you have within yourself and focusing that intent to manifest things that you need to have manifested. So it's like laser focus. That's the best way I can put it. So everybody knows that lavender is calming, right? Mm-hmm. If this is natural. So if I'm needing to calm the energy in my house, I would use lavender in that spell work.
Got it.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So then I would focus my energy and then I would incorporate the magic of that plant into that conjure to make it happen.
All right. Well, this has been fascinating.
That was super fast. Thank you for sharing with us, Tony.
Thank you. You ladies have a great day.
You too.
You too, Tony.
What?
I did not know that was a thing.
Me neither.
New Orleans is a special city. Maybe that energy is what keeps people there.
Yeah. It's like this belief in the supernatural. It's not that far off from what we're all led to believe now. Like, yes, lavender helps you go to sleep and like all these other herbs and natural stuff. Like, it's supposed to do this and this.
But I think for them, it isn't popular, and it's actually things that they utilize and that they actually know what they're doing.
Right.
Like, for example, you see a lot of these young people have crystals around their neck.
Yes.
They don't know. They probably don't use them the way that they probably use them.
accurate. Whereas like now we just think it's like a cool trend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I feel like it's so witch culture is not something that you would talk about in any other city mm-hmm. in the country, but it seems so prevalent there. Like it's just a way of life or something that's
yeah. interesting.
Like it's legit. It's not something to scoff at or be like, yeah, that's
not especially yeah. she can put you in a jar.
Right. Exactly. Mm-mm-mm. Or put a hex on you or like voodoo. I really wanted to ask her if she like had ever done like a voodoo doll.
Mm. Maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe next time. But I feel like the thing that all of these callers had in common was that they were dating a little outside of what's quote unquote normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they lived different lifestyles and, you know, people were questioning them, but they always had to trust their gut.
Yes. I feel like my intuition is really strong. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people need to, you know, practice listening to, you know, their gut and their instinct, because when you reflect and you do look back and you do realize you're right, like you're like, dang, I should have listened to myself. And I feel like the more you listen to yourself, you're like kind of strengthening it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's so true. And now I know like a couple of your songs, they talk about dating and who you're looking for, mm-hmm. and your type and everything. Like mm-hmm. in your life, how important is your love life in comparison to your amazing career, like everything else you've got going on for you?
Thank you. Well, I feel like my love life definitely has to be healthy. Mm-hmm. Like my type is somebody who's supportive and who kind of adds to the awesomeness I'm creating.
Right.
Like I don't want you taken away from that.
Oh, absolutely not.
So I feel like my type is definitely somebody who's, you know, involved, supportive, and makes me happy.
Yes. Well, sweetie, this has been amazing. I mean, I don't know about you. I feel like I learned so much.
Yes.
Like, so eye-opening. Who knew New Orleans was
just... It was like an interesting class session.
Yes, it mm-hmm. so totally was. But for our listeners who are obsessed with you, what is going on with your career now? Where can we see you next? I hear you're touring with Cardi B. Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
So super exciting. It's coming up. I'm opening for her. There's a lot of great things are happening right now. Obviously, we're talking about Tinder and my type.
That's so
and
awesome.
So I feel like it's just a reoccurring theme this summer. People are out. People are dating. So I encourage everybody to, you know, find your type. Mm-hmm. And like you said, don't settle for nothing less.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Oh, yay. Well, thank you so much for being in the studio with us today. This was fabulous. You are awesome.
Thank you.
And thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you have a dating story that you feel like we need to hear, hit me up on Insta at FayeBaby4 or on Twitter at FayeBrennanNYC with the hashtag SingleSwipeRepeat. Thanks for listening to Single Swipe Repeat by Cosmopolitan in partnership with Tinder. Produced by Edit Audio, with special thanks to Steph Colborn, Cecilia Keating, Katie Jensen, Megan Boise, Courtney Turnbull, Sarah Schroeder, and Marnie Braverman.